For more Time Pop, check out patreon.com/timepop. For all of your other podcast needs, head on over to soundsawesome.com.
Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our nickel's worth of free advice, folks. I have a nickel's worth of free advice for you people today. That's what our constant is. You know what it is? Never follow a podcaster to a second location. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Scott.
And we are Time Pop. This is my 108th episode, Scott. I've never said it like that ever.
Hey, every time is different. Every variation is different. It'll never be the same. It's like fingerprints.
It's like the butterfly effect. Someone went back in time and changed my notes.
It's like butterfly effect. It's a film that I'm the only one that thinks has any value to it.
We are doing
sequels.
Oh my God. We're going to do a sequel to Butterfly Effect.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
Oh man.
Yes.
Here's what I think. We get sponsors. We raise money for charity. How many sequels to Butterfly can we sit through straight? And like for every hour we get sponsored. Like when you do walkathons for kids, we'll do that for watching the Butterfly Effect sequels.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm in. I just like that.
Let's do it. I'm in.
I like that idea at all. I like you've done 24 hours of improv.
Yeah.
I think we can do 24 hours of
a Butterfly Effect.
It'll be great too. We'll start off with the Butterfly Effect trilogy, but that's going to leave like 18 hours of movies to watch.
Okay. You know what I put in the same quality level of Butterfly Effect sequels?
What?
The Lost Boys sequels.
Mm. Well, what we'll do is to raise money, people will pay us to watch progressively worse movies.
Uh-huh.
So like by hour 20, they're like, I'll give you $1,000.
Yeah.
You have to sit through.
Is there a live feed? Are they watching our faces like in misery? Like they're watching us like.
Absolutely.
I mean, you and I are going to be great. We'll have like nachos and dips and we'll be great.
I fucking love this idea.
This is a good idea.
All right, folks, we're not doing Totally Killer. Instead, we are starting the 24-hour marathon right now. Get the Discord channel up and running.
All right, Totally Killer. Can I just say, I mean, you would agree with this. This film is, this is your recipe.
Okay.
You take a little bit of Back to the Future. You take a little bit of Hot Tub Time Machine. You take a little bit of Scream, and you put it in a blender. And this is the beverage you get.
I love it. We're still only at like 40% though.
Would you disagree with that statement? Because it's really those three.
I think we're getting there. We have to add in, I think because of the mask, I guess Scream has the mask.
I mean, Scream, you've got this like comical satire of teens getting stabbed by somebody in a mask. You've got the Back to the Future where you're in getting with your parents and you're trying to keep them together. And then what, Hot Tub Time Machine for the wacky 80s nonsense.
You're right. I was thinking with those three movies, we weren't quite at a full movie, but I think you're right. It's 33% of all of those movies.
That's what this film is, folks. If you want to know that, you know what? We saw the trailer. We knew that was what we're getting, and it delivered it. That was exactly what the film was.
And just a smidgen, see, it's 33%, so we're only at 99%.
Yeah, what's your smidgen? What's the spidey?
That last percent is John Hughes movies.
Yep, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of 16 Candles or Breakfast, yeah, Molly Ringwald references there.
Yeah, this was so fun.
It was fun.
I would not argue how great of a film this is. But
agreed.
This is a really fun movie.
Yeah, there's moments where you're like, this is kind of, but then it's all tongue in cheek. They know what they're doing. They're not taking it seriously. I will say it's weird. It's really comedic. It's really satirical. There's like talks about how girls aren't going to get killed because of how they give blowjobs. There's all kinds of weird things in it. But then like they get into a pretty serious stabbing scene out of like pure, it's weird to transition between, like Scream does it better. It's just a little weird. This film is like almost slapstick, but then the murder scenes are kind of real.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing.
This is a terrible film. It's an okay horror movie. It's a pretty great time travel flick.
Yeah. Well,
like they biff it at the end. We'll get there.
Yeah.
I feel like they do a really good job. At the end, they're just like, oh fuck, the credits are rolling in 2 minutes. So yeah, put a bow on it.
Agreed. But it's what it's meant. It's a fun movie and it's fun. Time travel is often thick in sci-fi. Horror films are, you know, what they are. And this is like a fun romp for both of those. So and they go into some interesting time travel stuff. This is one of those films that takes Back to the Future, which is like the standard, and they kind of question some of it. We've had a bunch of these films where they're like, no, it's not like Back to the Future. This is how it would happen. And that's really fun. Plus, they really take some time to examine how fucked up the difference between the 80s and now is.
Yes.
Because Hot Tub Time Machine just does, oh, it's the 80s. It's wacky. And people wore. This really goes into like, oh, there's some notable differences.
The best quote of this whole movie, flying on a plane right now must be insane.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's just like, what the fuck is.
Yeah. She has fun with like the fact that like people are like fat shaming and like, you can't do that. People are homophobic. People are racist.
She's unwanted like, touch. Unwanted touch.
Yeah. And the fact that like she goes into a school to like try to get paperwork and she's trying so hard. And the school's like, what's the name? Yeah, here's the info you need. And she's like, why is everything so easy in the 80s? Like just, and these are all true. These are all true.
Why are you guys so stoned? I had like five of those brownies.
Yeah. And the weed, right? She's like, the weed was so bad then. Why does it look like dirt?
This is all stems. Oh, my
these
God.
Are all great things. And you know, yeah, we haven't really seen this done. Back to the Future does cover like the 50s. Like, what a weird time, you know, that is. And like, they're covering the 80s of like, that's, these are all weird concepts that are, don't hold up today.
And this movie was like, I mean, for all intents and purposes, this had to have been dirt cheap. I mean, they got good actors, but they didn't get well-known expensive actors like Julie Bowen and what's his name? The dad are the only two. I mean, these girls have been in stuff if you dig around, but it's not like, basically what I'm getting at is there should be some sequels in the making because I think this movie did well enough on whatever tiny budget it was made from. And hopefully we're going to get a time travel slasher trilogy at least, if not more.
Yeah, the time travel horror hybrid genre, it's rare. We've had a few. It's not a lot, but
well, and they didn't say. I watched the credits all the way through to the final frame and they didn't say Blumhouse through the whole movie.
Agreed. Right, so weird.
Nothing. The last frame of the credits is the Blumhouse logo.
Yeah, it's a different vibe for them.
It's definitely like, yeah, they went through some sister company to make it so Blumhouse wouldn't be getting blamed if it didn't do well.
Right.
But then also they obviously made it. So like, you know, for everyone out there, they're the same ones that made Happy Death Day. So, you know, because Happy Death Day didn't get the third movie they were hoping, I'm glad they haven't dropped this idea of the time travel slasher.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, you know what we can do on Patreon too?
What?
Body swap.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I've been dying to see Freaky.
Okay.
I really want to see Freaky.
I mean, I know a lot about the body swap films of the 80s. I mean, Vice Versa, like Father, like Son. Wait, there's one more.
I mean, that should actually be a whole different Patreon level. Like,
And then there's the one of like the two dudes, the one's single and the one's married and they swap.
Yeah. The Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds one.
Wait, there's one more. God damn it. There's Vice Versa.
There's a million more. My God. Zac Efron and R.I.P. I didn't even mean to do that.
Oh, there's a George Burns one.
What's his name? Matthew Perry, R.I.P.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't it Matthew Perry and Zac Efron?
I don't remember.
18 again, I think.
Yeah, there's an original. The original one is George Burns and Jonathan Silverman, maybe. I don't remember. Anywho, that's a tangent, but that's what we're going for.
That's when we get off on our when we start our next Patreon tier, we will get into the body swap movies. Yeah, just it's. I mean, yeah, you got Julie Bowen and I keep forgetting.
Oh, what's name. Randall Park? Randall Park.
Who's Randall Park?
The cop, the guy from all the Marvel films.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, Sheriff Dennis Lim. This film is, you know what? And this is a great example where you and I can do a premise real easy. Right? Girl lives in a town. The town in the past, in the 80s, had a slasher that stabbed people 16 times on their 16th birthday, like ravaged the city. The girl's mom's overprotective. Then that her mom actually gets killed that night. It's like years, 30 years later, whatever, 40 years later, whatever it was. And then the slasher's out and she ends up going back in time. Accidentally, sort of.
Well, her friend is like making a time machine for the science fair.
But they couldn't finish it, but somehow stabbing it in the middle. I was sure the gem she had was going to be the missing link. I can't believe that stabbing a knife was
how did that never come into play?
Right? There just have to know that she holds the gem. There's a random gem that she has. Never came into play. Red herring.
Even like if she had thrown it at the killer at the end to like break his nose or something. Like
something.
I love that her friend. I love that her mom is just like, wow, that looks legit.
Yeah.
Like that's definitely a mind reading gem.
So she goes back to the 80s and she's like, I'm going to stop the killer back then. So my mom lives in the future. And that's the premise. Of course, she interacts with her mom. And unlike Back to the Future, her mom's like a big asshole. And so she's dealing with all that. And that's your basic premise. Instead of a Doc Brown, she finds her best friend's mother, who's like a on the spectrum genius.
And not doing like she's obviously, you know, given up on her love of science, you know, and her daughter finds her mom's science book. And so, all right, same question as Back to the Future. Do the parents know?
Oh,
the parents know, right? They have.
I mean, there's photos in the future of their daughter hanging out with them that they have to have looked at over the years.
I mean, that's part of the rushing at the end because everyone else knows the mother, the friend's mom who she hangs out with in the 80s totally remembers everything. She definitely spent a lot of time with her mom.
Yes.
They named their firstborn son who didn't exist in the original reality after her.
Are we doing the loopholes now?
they didn't punish her for lighting fire to the living room rug.
I get it. No, you're right.
But we can do loopholes in a minute. But just before, do you think the parents know?
Well, by logic.
They have to, right?
By logic, I would say yes. The movie is acting like that's not the case. However, that's a loophole. That's why I'm saying.
Like if
you met someone 30 years ago, well, that's tough. People I met that long ago when I was a teenager.
Oh, that's true. Because I forget.
In your brain, it's like a little faint. However, you watch a girl grow up who looks exactly like that person. I feel like that would trigger a memory. But you wouldn't notice because the girl grows so gradually over time. But fuck, if you looked at any old photo, you'd see your daughter standing there. You could argue.
Yeah, because I forget that they do never, like, she would not have stuck in the memory of her parents as much because she straight up told her friend's mom that she's a time traveler. So that's why her friend's mom would have tracked it more.
She told them she was psychic. They went through a very traumatic experience with her and saved the day. That person would, like, that's trauma. That person.
And then that person disappeared.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you remember. You're right. They're wrong. I say Desmond is right.
I don't even know if I right or wrong. I just wanted to know what you think the movie thinks.
The movie doesn't think that they do.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a loophole. The other loophole that's obvious. So in this film, what's great about this film is they reference Back to the Future all the time. And she goes to her friend and she's like, she mentions to her mom that she's going to hook up with the guy that's her dad. And apparently they never hook up through high school and they hook up in college. And they're like, thank God we did that because we never would have worked out. But she brings it up and the mom starts thinking about the boyfriend. They're going to hook up early and the girl's trying to prevent it. And she talks to her sci-fi friend and she was like, if they hook up, like, am I going to be erased from existence? She's like, no, what is this, magic? No, you'll just go to the future and nobody will know who you are. That is great.
We've talked about that before. It's like, no, this arrow pointing forward cannot be undone. Like it will never loop back around. Like she's like the definition of an orphaned timeline. If that happens.
Or a paradox. I'm not sure if this one is saying alternate timelines or if they're saying one.
Well, no, she is just the embodiment of it.
Right.
Because when she goes back to the future, just nobody has any idea who she is, where she came from.
That should be in movies more. It's not that often.
Yeah.
There's no fixing that. You're just, because matter is not created or destroyed. She exists. Therefore, she is.
Yeah.
She shouldn't disappear theoretically. But also, how could you exist if that never happened?
But it did.
So it is it's a paradox.
Or it's an alternate timeline. Or right. We're in a situation where.
Yes.
So were you surprised it wasn't a loop?
Oh, no.
Like it's at some point I was like, OK, she's changing some things, but I bet she was always there.
Oh, I did think for a moment when they looked at that photo, but then I realized, you know, that's what's happening. They were very consistent. They want to. We've heard this in other films where they say time's like a river.
Yeah.
And there's 2 points. And they're moving at that same speed. So that's a way that's like, you're like, wouldn't that have already happened in the future? And they're kind of saying, no, they're both moving at the same time. That stick is currently being placed there and it'll move up in its time.
And I love that she was changing things. And then the butterfly effect, immediately everyone in the future was like, and I love how they use the Mandela effect as like, no, wait, that band, that's not the name of that band. Or that's not what was written there. And then I love it too. They finally, I've been rewatching it a little bit while I've been editing. And the killer, he's like, he does have one extra like, oh, wait. Oh, never mind. It must be that Mandela effect thing. Because obviously his brain is getting fried because he actually fucking stabbed these people. So while information is changing in the future, he's like, wait, what? Like, I did not stab her on the bed.
Yeah, they changed. She's really loose. I mean, she knows Back to the Future, but she changes a lot of stuff in the past, the way that what she tells them and how she sets it up. But the timeline still just kind of moves along with some changes.
I forget. Do all three girls still die or just two?
Two, right? Oh, wait. No, they all die, right? But her mom doesn't.
But her mom. Well, not yet.
Des waiting for the
call. Because he's still alive. He's still alive. Because the friend's mom says she's been keeping track of him.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about this. Wait. So, okay.
You watched the credits, right?
No.
Oh.
Was there an after credit scene?
During credits.
There is?
Like right when the credits started with the notebook?
Yes.
You watch. There's like 5 or 6 pages of the notebook?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we're here come all the spoilers. It is a whodunit, so stop listening now if you don't want to hear that. So the principal, who's like the nerdy guy in the past, is the original killer who they stop.
No.
However, yeah, he's the original killer. However,
no.
The guy from the future, the one who's like the nerd who lived off it, goes back to make sure they don't stop it because that's how his business is going.
Wait, whoa.
Oh, this is that moment where Desmond's like, that's not what I picked up.
It wasn't always him?
No, he went back because
he didn't go back.
He went back from the future. He used the time machine to go back. That's why you see like the daughter in that future is like, was like splayed out. He took the time machine from her. She told him about the time machine. He went back because he makes his living off of that and he didn't want her ruining that.
Wait, that's...
Go watch it again.
That's... God damn it. I watch these movies, people. I swear to God.
Or like, you can look at the Wikipedia plot. Maybe that'll help.
I'm right at the end. I've been playing the movie.
Anyway, that's the my take on it was, yeah, it was the principal was the original one. And that was because of his, was it his girlfriend or his sister that died? But when this girl went back and... So the guy in the future, he said like they was going out of business. Nobody cared anymore 30 years later about it. So he made that fake letter to kind of, you know, drum up business again. And then she was going back and he found out and he didn't want her to stop that because that's like his whole livelihood.
So wait, the principal was the original killer?
Yeah. Remember when they uncovered him and they killed him? Did you miss that part?
No, it's all, I don't know why. Like
you thought he was framing him?
My brain just like,
Yeah, the principal was, and they said the reason was more because to get back because they kind of killed Fat Trish. And he was like the brother or the boyfriend or something.
But where's
like that.
The principal, though? Why? I think that's what's confused me. I don't remember the principal at all. I remember
the principal is the nerdy guy in the history, like the guy who like the bald guy that helps them out. That's the principal in the future. And the other kind of douchey guy ends up being the coach. They show that at some point. You see the three of them next to each other in the past and she sees him in the future and they show the superimposition.
So I remember the nerdy guy. So the one that helped him get into the party or was trying to help them get into the party, the guy with the microchip.
Yes.
He was the brother of
Fat Trish.
Sorry for calling her that, people.
That's what she is.
That's what they kept calling her in the movie. And they do make a point in the movie to say, you can't call her that.
Yeah.
We will refer to Trish the way she was in the movie. So it was her.
It was his revenge because they essentially killed Fat Trish. They got her drunk and they let her drive home and she died, like, to get all of her secrets. And then she died. And so, like, those.
So what happened? Do we know what happened to him in the original? Oh, he's the
principal.
The nerdy kid
goes up.
Oh, okay. That I thought you meant in the past. It was the principal in the future, in the present future. It's the principal.
Yeah.
He's the one. Okay. Right. Yeah, so, I totally saw that part. But then for some reason, I just got totally consumed by the podcaster story.
Yeah.
Because his dad was a journalist, too. So I was like, oh, yeah, he always killed these girls because then he got to be the star journalist.
He just lived off. I think.
What does he use to get back in time again? Oh, he uses the new video game.
Yeah.
The video game time machine.
Yeah, because he took the daughter out in the future, but I guess a new future was made, so she was alive in the new one that the person comes back to.
So...
Oh, yeah, because he never becomes that. Anyway, So the young version of him exists, but he ended up having a totally different path. The young version of the podcaster still exists in the timeline that continued, but he ended up becoming like a monk or something, they said, because he got... But he was not the original murderer.
Right, but they're keeping an eye on him because obviously he has some tendencies that need to be put in check. So, yeah, who was... Oh, yeah. Holy crap.
I think every podcast we have this Desmond like, oh, that's what happened.
This is a good one, too, because this is one of those movies that, like, when it's over, it's like, oh, that was pretty straightforward time travel. And then we start talking about it's like, oh, no, wait, but he went there and then he went there, which means his original self is now there. And it's like, time. That's why we do this podcast, because it's even when it's meh, it's so great.
Yeah, it still covers some interesting concepts.
And of course, they follow around. It's a slasher movie. So, like, there's the creepy dude with the van. So, of course, he's the killer. And
right.
Of course, he's not. And then there's the, you know, the guy, the super problematic, you know, testosterone guy that, you know, obviously kills girls for sport, but he's not.
I mean, it's funny that it's a satirical film. A lot of comments on teenagers and 80s and horror, everything. But, like, the murderer mask is like a douche mask. It's like a blonde hair.
Do you know? Did you read up about the mask?
No.
Oh, yes. You ready for this?
Yeah, please.
So I was like, this has to be something. Like, I must just be missing it. So I'm like, what is the mask in Totally Killer? So the people who developed the mask, here were all of their influences.
Okay.
Kiefer Sutherland.
From Lost Boys.
Rob Lowe.
Uh-huh.
Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, okay.
And Johnny Bravo.
That makes sense.
Is that not like?
I would have said William Zabka. I would have said like Karate Kid, blonde hair.
Yeah. I mean, he was probably on the board. You know, I'm sure they put up a bunch of, because they just wanted an every guy face.
Yeah.
So they went back to the 80s. They got
an 80s every guy like douche face. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the hint was that the guy who was the murderer practiced, this guy could fight. And so that guy knew karate and that came up. And that's like your hint. You know what? I did like what was fun in the future was this woman, the mom, you know, her friends were attacked 30 years ago and this daughter grew up and they do cover it more realistically than other slasher films. Like this girl has been raised like master karate, has like 3 different weapons on her. And that's exactly like what would happen. Like if you were raised with that. And
what's her name from Halloween? Like, what's her name?
Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah, like the fact that Jamie Lee Curtis isn't just walking around just strapped with a...
Yeah, anyone. Or from Scream, like they've been through this like 5 times and like at some point they never have weapons. Like you would be fucking strapped. And if it happened to me, I would learn how to fucking fight. I'd have weapons. I'd have... Like they even cover in the movie when the mom gets attacked, she's got hidden weapons under each couch. That's great. No one's ever covered that. That's exactly how like you would be. That's some traumatic
shit.
Dude,
mom puts up a great fight. Like, yeah. She dies out of... dumb luck. Like the guy just finally just wears her down, but she is good to go.
Yeah.
She's badass. I love that I'm going to just kind of go through my notes. I might jump around a little bit. I love, like, you're talking about, like, the, you know, the problematic 80s. Just good old-fashioned dodgeball.
She's like, what is this? It's mean.
This is vicious. And, of course, her mom is a total bitch. The waterbed is just great. That's 80s as fuck. I'm pretty sure those are not, when they're watching RoboCop, that pile of movies that they pan across.
Yeah.
Those are Betamax, right? Those are not VHS, right?
Oh, I thought it was VHS. I didn't.
I think those were Betamax.
Betamax is really early 80s. That's really more obscure. I don't think they would do that.
I don't know. Her mom, but that's, they're pointing out what a nerd her mom really is.
Betamax. Wow.
So great.
So it covers things that like others have not. They didn't go into too much other science except the like trumping the Back to the Future idea. Oh, so here's the loop. Let's get into the final other loophole.
Before we get to the final loophole, sorry, I just want to go through some of my hilarious 80s.
Go for it.
When she hands the DNA to the cop.
He
throws it on the ground. He's just like, oh, gross.
What's DNA? I love when he says, what's DNA? And she can't define it. She's like, hey, it's a thing. It's you.
The supercomputers. Just type it in. Yeah. There's a supercomputer with all. On the loophole thing, like 87, I think we were getting into some DNA in 87.
Yeah, it was around.
In 82, I think that would have, the picture, yeah, it's so great when she shows up out of nowhere from the picture from the 80s in the butterfly effect. Oh, you've been on the quantum drop, right?
Yeah, well, it's gravitron whenever I've...
Yep. That was going to be my question. I was going to say, but we rode the Gravitron.
I'm a big fan of the Gravitron. I love having a final fight scene on that. That's pretty great.
That was amazing. The standing on it, the like using the gravity to stand on the side. Okay. Those, I just had to make sure I'm sure I still missed some.
So the final loophole, but they have fun with it in the future. So there's a few things this movie does that others have, and we've talked about some of them. So she does accidentally get her parents to get together sooner and she ends up in the future and she still exists and they have fun with it. What you find out is there's a guy, she's like, who's that? And they're like, that's your brother. Like the parents got together earlier. They had a kid before her. And they also say, and the kid's name was what her name was supposed to be, like Jamie. And she's like, and they call her a different name.
Colette.
Right. That's really fun to play with, that you have a new sibling or that you have a different name. But like you have to, I'm sorry to science nerd out, but like for her to be born, it has to be the exact night, that exact moment, everything exactly the same for that sperm to get there. And like
the same amount of Jack Daniels has to be consumed.
That she still exists. It's just, I know, it's just a fun movie.
You got a little kid running around the house. You're not humping like normal 22-year-olds. You got to.
Or that the parents even got together, like I said, starting earlier that they wouldn't have, but you know.
Whatever. Well, they serve that, I think, can be summed up with surviving a tragedy. Like you live through something like that, you have a bond that can never be broken. But no, I'm with you that like, yeah, if you, the precise moment in time that it takes to create that exact human being, which is why movies like this, like you just, the amount of butterfly effect that would happen.
Yeah.
From, you know, other couples that didn't stay together because of the tragedy and
other people they didn't date because they dated each other. I would like to see a film where like the butterfly effect is real and you get back and there's all these nuances. So many little things are different. So many small things.
Yeah.
You get to really see how the movie Butterfly Effect has just totally different futures for this cast. But like all the other little things, like the movie again, where they have Back to the Future with Eric Stoltz was the guy, things like that really are more interesting, should be explored.
Project Almanac did a surprisingly good job with that, you know.
Yeah.
With the like, well, no, because he couldn't make it to the plane, the other guy flew the plane, and now, you know. But you're right, and that's just like, I mean, that's why we need to be making time travel movies, because it would just take an eye drop of an idea and we would expand it out into. Yeah. Do you watch For All Mankind? Such a great fucking show. It's basically a show based on the fact that the space race never ended. The Russians beat us to the moon.
Oh, right.
And then we still went to the moon. But it's so great because in the 60s, when we landed on the moon, very little changes. But then all of the political shit that happens because of that, like then the 70s are slightly different. But then, like, when you get to the 80s, so Reagan wins in 76. So Reagan's the president from 76 to 84 instead of 80 to 88. And then, you know, Lenin doesn't die, but the Pope does. And then, you know, and then by the time you get to the 90s, you know, a character from the show is now president. But it's every season is a different decade. And every decade you get farther away from this one little thing that happened where the Russians beat us to the moon has just changed everything. And now we're going to Mars in like 1998 or something like that.
No, I should check it out.
So it's super cool.
I want to give an update also. I was looking at the breakdown on Wikipedia. So just to be clear about the plot. So Doug was the original killer, but the podcast guy, Chris, murdered Pam in the future.
Yes.
Just to generate content for the podcast. He did go back in time, clearly.
So when we first started this podcast, there was only like 7 or 8 time travel movies. And I went back in time and I sowed a bunch of seeds to force young nerds born in the 90s to create more time travel movies in the early 20s. And now we have this, we're lousy with time travel movies because of my influence.
I like that we went from like no time travel movies to a point where like, yeah, they're just going to use time travel to solve it. It's another time travel film. And that's how, you know.
I mean, Ari and I had to do a Family Matters episode to try to pad our first season.
No, there's still stuff that hasn't been done. There's, you know.
I know.
I think Valentine's Day is somewhere in time. We got to do it sooner or later. It's a romance time travel. It's a classic from the 70s.
I mean, we could do a whole season of Twilight Zones if we wanted to. And that wouldn't get boring because Twilight Zones are always crazy and weird and different. Totally killer. So, yeah, I got to figure out. So I was just editing our show and it reminded me that our new rating system is, I got to figure out what the bottom of the scale is, but it's this to Interstellar. So the rating system, what's at the bottom?
Let's rate it in time. Let's rate it like a clock, 1 through 12.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere, Scott.
Let's rate it in time.
Now, are we going to use a 24-hour clock to really give ourselves some? No.
Oh, I don't know. Do you want to? It's more variance. But
nah, 12 hours is pretty good.
12 hours is good.
What time? Oh, my God. How is this? How do we just figure this out now? God damn it.
I'm a genius, but only sometimes.
What time is totally killer?
So I'm saying Interstellar is like an 11 for me.
I would say Interstellar for you is like 11:45.
11:30. Back to the Future is also like the classic. It's again, I still say it's a perfectly written film.
Yeah.
Except for the rules. It's a lot of pressure.
I've been wanting to do a rewatch for a long time, and now we have to do a rewatch so we can rate all of these movies on our time scale.
I don't know. Is it at a 12? Is it a 6:30?
I'm going to give it a 7:30.
Okay.
This is just a really, like,
yeah, I'm going to go 6:30. I liked Happy Death Day overall better as a film, as a high quality film. This was fun. But yeah, I'll say 6:30.
Yeah, this was like, if they fade to black right when she gets back to the future, this might be a 9 o'clock. But because it's a pretty solid time travel movie. They do good. They change things. The butterfly effect is in effect. You know, the river thing is in effect. They do a lot of little time travel things really well. And it's not really until they get back to the future where it's like there's definitely a version of this movie that doesn't have that. And the audience was like, isn't everybody happy again? So, yeah, but long story short, watch this movie. Like, fucking A. I know you have Amazon Prime. You're a human being living in the, not just United States, you're a human being living on the planet Earth. Press play. Enjoy it. It's Halloween. Like, I unfortunately, oh yeah, Halloween's tomorrow. I won't get it out. Happy Halloween, everybody. I hope you had a great Halloween a couple short days ago. Maybe a week ago. We'll see. I might have to put this out next week.
It's been a fun October. We got to dabble a little bit in time travel horror to celebrate. So I like this tradition. I think next year, try to do the horror time travel month of October if there's anything left.
Thank you for listening to Time Pop, the time travel movie podcast. We hope you have enjoyed this journey through time. Please please, everyone out there, I don't like to beg, but just please like and subscribe. We can talk all we want, but if you don't tell the algorithms that you're listening, nobody knows. It's just your little secret. Tell everyone. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/timepop. We have and will continue to produce great time travel content for free. But if you could help us with some production costs, we will be greatly appreciative. We are asking for $3 a month. And to show our appreciation, you'll receive an exclusive podcast every month. I just sent out my envelopes full of some stickers and other odd sounds awesome. We mixed it merch to our Patreon subscribers, so you can look forward to that. And we got a few slots open. If you want to sign up for the Patreon, you can put in your request for a Patreon episode. We're not doing time travel movies over there. We're going to keep those right here on Alpha Feed over the Prime, Time Pop Prime Feed. Over there on the Beta Feed, we're going to be doing alternate universes, body swap, maybe.
In an alternate timeline, we were obsessed with totally different films, like alternate multiverse films in alternate timeline.
In alternate timeline. And we're going to do universe 6117's version of Time Pop over there, where we talk about movies like Everything Everywhere All at Once. You can check that out. I just uploaded hours ago, hot, fresh from the presses, Spider-Man, Steve Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So if you throw in $3, you'll get both of those now. That's a 2-for-1 special we're giving.
That's a deal.
This November, and we'll keep them coming for the rest of forever. If you like the show and would like to continue to support us for free, we just ask again that you like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. And I've also boosted our social media. I'm going to try to do more posting and what's the word I'm looking for? Engaging. That's the word I'm looking for.
Ooh,
I'm going to try to post more. I'm going to try to engage a little bit on social media. We have an official Instagram, an official Twitter. I just made an official Facebook, so I don't have to share it with We Mixed It. I'm going to try to figure out how to do some TikToks. I'm going to try to figure out how to do some fancy time travel style. There's got to be a way to like play around some TikTok videos and make it look like I'm zipping through time. You never know. I don't know. I'm way overthinking my TikTok experience, and I just need to put some dumb videos up there just as a presence. But anyways, you can find all of that at time_pop_pod. That is at time_pop_pod, time_pop_pod. And keep sending us great movie recommendations to timepoppod@gmail.com. And if you have any episodes, we want to do more episodes, but you know, obviously we're not going to do an entire series. So sometimes it's hard to know which episode would represent that series the most if we want to dive in and talk about some time travel and get into that. So if you've been watching a time travel show and you know which episode we should hone in on, please let us know what that is. We will be talking about Loki soon, probably just dipping into that whole series because it's that time. Speaking of time, until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
And I'm Scott Lifton. See you in the future. See you in the past. Is he in the time?
When we hit 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious.
Beep.
Put it on the penis.
Which one's the penis?
The one that looks like a penis. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. For more Time Pop, check out patreon.com/timepop. For all of your other podcast needs, head on over to soundsawesome.com.